Sporkies, welcome back to the second ever Spork Feeding. I'm joined once again by three others, and they'll go in some order now.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin.
John.
Chelsea.
Thank you. Yeah, there we go. Cool.
We were playing so chicken.
We're talking about aliens this week. I thought it was a great topic. I think Gavin and I had some great discourse over the Fourth Kind episode relating to aliens. If you haven't already listened to that episode, go listen to that episode. And so we decided to make this episode about aliens so we could do some more fun research on some other stories. A lot of crazy suggestions this week, thanks to everybody that participated in our poll. We had one viewer story we had a plan before this, but I'm going to override that and read this instead.
Oh, nice.
Short story time. Nothing crazy. We're just going to get right into it. Not much else to talk about. How have you guys been?
I'm fine, Dan, now that you just made all the rules about us.
Yeah, thank you, great leader.
Yes. Thank you.
So, how you guys doing since the last sports meeting?
I'm doing good, man.
Peachy.
John has a new job. John doesn't work with me anymore because he said he hated me. I don't know. And then,
yeah, Dan, I quit because of you personally. I don't like you.
I know.
He cried because he was leaving me.
Yeah. But nah, man, the new job's going great. It's a ton of shit flying at me every day, but you know, I don't want to die. So that's something.
Not relatable, but I'm happy for you.
Thanks, man.
Very nice.
Thanks.
So we got one short story in from Instagram user Clay Still. That's our graphic. He did the logo. So this is his personal story. He replied to the question, two-parter, so about three sentences. I'll never forget when I saw shining lights outside my window, and I passed out. When I woke up, there was ectoplasmic goo in my boxers. It truly scared me for a while.
And God damn it.
It's really, you know, pouring out for Clay Still. I hope he's fine now, but I remember back in middle school, it was a long, you know, it was a long 2 weeks. He went on this mute mission, I don't know, weird 4-day shadow retreat, I don't know. Really.
Dude, I hope he took that goo to a lab or something to get, like, examined.
I heard he still just got it at his house.
keeps it in a jar.
Yeah.
I heard he's still shooting goo to this day.
So, thank you again for your participation. We also had an anonymous user ask for John specifically to tell his story, but we'll get to John in a moment here. So we're going to start
tell
with
his story.
to tell
an original creation that I came up with.
Chelsea's going to open because she, even though I said we weren't going to do it, we're going to do like a brief summary here on Betty Hill and her husband, and it's one of the more famously known stories. So I wanted to do one more factually based, even though she's kind of crazy nowadays to start. Like, we could have done, like, Area 51, but, like, everyone knows Area 51.
Yeah, and there's, it's like, not, it's, yeah. Roswell there's a million, and Skinwalker
yeah.
Ranch and
yeah,
just anything
so,
you can think of.
Like I said the last time, there's, like, a 10-part audio documentary series on, I guess, all platforms that covers the story really, really well. Chelsea listened to it. So, like I said, she's going to briefly summarize it, but we recommend it. It was good. So go ahead.
Well, yeah, I did listen to that 10-part series called Strange Arrivals. Definitely on Spotify. I'm assuming it's on all the platforms, but I don't know for sure. And my notes should be better this time, so hopefully I can speak better. Let me just get them up.
Prep time.
All right.
Now she has practice and no excuses. So if she messes up now, even harder bullying to ensue.
Better be perfect, or boy, I'm never living it down. Okay, so Betty and Barney Hill, not to be confused with Betty and Barney Rubble, are the couple credited to have been the first well-documented case of alien abduction. Betty, who lived from 1919 to 2004, was a social worker. Barney, who lived from 1923 to 1969, was a postal worker. They resided in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and were an interracial couple at the time when such things were considered to be controversial or taboo. Both were members of the NAACP, and Barney sat on the local board of his U.S. Civil Rights, the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. On the night of September 19th, 1961, while traveling home from a trip to Niagara Falls in Montreal, Canada, the Hills noticed a light in the sky draw nearer while traveling on south on Route 3 in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. Betty first assumed it was a falling star, but soon realized that it was falling upwards rather than down toward the earth. Betty asked Barney to pull over. He did so, and they watched the object through binoculars while pulled over on the side of the road. Even though the object in the sky was silent, Barney attempted to explain it away as an airplane. They saw the object pass over a building, and the lights of the building flickered as it did so. Let's see. The lights in the sky eventually drew close enough to the Hills to recognize it as a craft. Betty estimated it to be around 40 feet long based on its scale next to a rock formation.
Okay.
40 feet long. 40 feet long.
Jesus Christ.
If we near some rock Betty, formation, what?
Engineer Betty just eyeing it up.
Yeah.
What an oddly specific number.
Well, 40 feet, it's about that much.
I'm explaining it. There's a rock formation called the Old Man in the Mountain, which is apparently like 48 feet long or something.
Okay, so she could just knock 8 feet off herself naturally. I guess.
Yeah, she's like, talented. It's not exactly 48 feet. 40 sounds good. So.
Right, but she could have said it's a bit smaller than this, infamously known statue. But no, she said it's 40 feet exactly.
Specifically that.
Hey, Betty knows what she's called. Betty knows.
She's one of Earth's best minds.
She is a scientist and a scholar, so, you know, let her be.
Isn't she insane?
Maybe. We'll find out.
Wouldn't you be, Dan?
What?
If the aliens took you and looked at your tiny shorts.
Yeah, I guess it's... Come on. Drop it. Keep it going.
It'd be real easy to probe, but anyway.
Oh, my...
Anyway, they continued on. However, Barney was compelled to stop the car in the middle of the road as the craft descended downwards toward their vehicle. Exiting the car and looking through his binoculars, he was able to discern about 10 humanoid figures peering at him through the windows of the craft. He felt threatened by these creatures and retreated back to his car. He felt a voice telling him to stay put, which he fought and attempted to escape. The Hills continued driving for about 30 miles without speaking. They heard beeping noises and later realized that they were unable to see the sky for some time, suggesting that the craft was flying directly above them in the sky for a while. Barney and Betty arrived home to Portsmouth, New Hampshire around 5 a.m. on the morning of September 20th, even though they had anticipated arriving closer to about 2 a.m., leaving them with about 3 hours of missing time that they were unable to account for. And that kind of becomes a common theme among alien abduction stories is lost time. They noticed that their watches had both stopped around the same time of the night and never worked again. Betty was concerned that the car was contaminated and refused to let Barney bring their luggage inside. She confided in her sister, who claimed to see UFO years earlier, and her sister advised her to use a compass around the car to see if the magnetic field would be disrupted. And apparently her sister had, like, consulted a physicist to get that information to try that. I don't know how her sister just knew a physicist, but whatever.
They're just all the smartest casually around, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I just know physicists. The smartest. I got scientists in my back pocket constantly.
Fair.
Yeah, just is what it is. But yeah, there were some highly polished spots on the trunk of the car that lasted for months, even though there were like some crazy rainstorms or something. And she said that when she held the compass around those areas, it seemed to interfere with the compass and made it spin around like crazy, while on other areas of the car, it seemed unaffected.
Interesting. I didn't know all these specifics.
Yeah, so all sorts of specifics. And I mean, this is just a very brief telling of it. This is highly edited down. let's see, the dress that Betty had been wearing, also had tears all over that couldn't be explained.
Ectoplasmic goo?
Maybe. I think there was something on it at some point that was tested.
Does Clay Still's story have its roots in this story? Yes.
Oh my god.
It's the same.
Same goo.
I'm pretty sure that there was some substance on it that she might have had tested at some point. But I can't remember entirely. That was something I heard in the podcast.
She definitely did.
Definitely. But Yeah, she had tears and shit all over her dress. Barney's binocular strap was torn, and his clothes were dirty, and the toes of his dress shoes, which they mentioned were always meticulously kept, had scrapes and scuffs on them for no reason that he could recall.
Yo, huh. Aliens.
Gotta be aliens.
They stepped on his J's. They stepped on his J's.
Not the J's.
They stepped on his J's.
They got my phones.
No.
The true tragedy of all of this. Yeah, and then a day or two after the incident, Betty made a report of the sighting with the Pease Air Force Base that was later forwarded to Project Blue Book, which is a project within the Air Force to investigate UFO sightings between 1947 and 1969. She also shared her story with NICAP, or NICAP, the National Investigation Committee on Aerial Phenomena. 10 days after their supposed encounter, Betty began to have vivid dreams that lasted for the next 5 nights that gave her more insight to her extraterrestrial experiences. She had described men that stood around 5 to 5.5 feet tall, with black hair, dark eyes, prominent noses, bluish lips, and grayish skin, wearing matching blue uniforms and hats resembling those of military cadets.
You know, I've heard that description before.
Yeah, they are.
But not related to the story.
Yeah, I'll be touching on that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, she recalled being separated from Barney and being met by both a leader and an examiner, and they took various tissue and fluid samples.
I hate that term. That's a disgusting term.
What?
Examiner?
Examiner, yeah.
Examiner? That's, like, the grossest title I've ever heard of anything ever.
I mean, I guess that's basically what a doctor is. They just examine you. We just call it something
pretty much.
If a doctor was called an examiner, I'm not going to the doctor.
That's why we don't call it an examiner, but it is what they are, basically. Fair. So yeah, they took various tissue and fluid samples from her and examined her from head to toe. She recalls any pain that she experienced being taken away by the wave of a hand. And she recounted seeing a book with strange symbols that the leader told her she could take home, as well as a star map. I don't remember whatever happened to this book. I guess she didn't actually take it home, but apparently she looked through it. I don't know.
Just a brochure.
What?
Just an informational brochure.
Probably. Just letting you know what's happening. You know.
This is what we did. If you feel like this afterwards, call your doctor.
How to care for yourself after a nice probing.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know, if this still persists, you should seek medical attention.
Yeah.
Say after 4 hours. But yeah. Yeah, it's also important to note that as of 1961, there were fewer than 10 satellites in orbit. And for reference, we now have over 4,600 satellites in orbit. And
Jesus.
The moon landing didn't happen until July 20th, 1969. And this was...
Supposedly.
Yes, if you believe that it happened. It either happened or was staged on that day. And then UFO sightings first entered popular culture on June 24th, 1947, when a pilot named Kenneth Arnold saw 9 metallic flying discs traveling at high speeds near Mount Rainier. And then 2 weeks later in Roswell, New Mexico, it was announced that a flying disc was recovered after crashing on ranch land.
No more.
Oh my God. This is good.
So that's kind of...
These are your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Those are your facts. These are all facts, by the way.
Yes.
Facts.
This is the fact portion of this episode. You're welcome.
Yeah, I got facts.
This is the first facts portion, but you have to understand the next portion is the most factually accurate.
Absolutely. Completely documented in everything.
Yep. This is just facts light. Just diet facts.
Oh, boy.
The Hills didn't publicly disclose their encounter until 1963. And for the first half of 1964, they underwent several hypnosis sessions, hoping to explain their experience. Both recalled the beings communicating them without moving their mouths, so basically telepathy. Overall, both of their encounters or accounts of the abduction while under hypnosis were fairly consistent with one another. And in that podcast, they have recordings from their hypnosis sessions, and they both get pretty agitated and emotional while under hypnosis describing their accounts. So listening to those, it seems legit.
It was actually such a good movie.
Dude, The Fourth Kind is just a documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Literally.
Obviously.
Also, apparently, so is that American Horror Story season.
The second one?
The interracial couple gets abducted by aliens.
Yeah, I think I actually remember watching that episode, and it's the only episode I've ever watched of that show.
That was a great season. The aliens were a little much, but it was still a good season.
That French girl.
I don't. No. Keep it going.
No tangent. Anyway. Their hypnosis therapist thought that their abduction experience was inspired by Betty's vivid dreams. And after the sessions, Barney started to accept the abduction theory as being real, but never believed it quite as strongly as Betty did. And in 1968, an elementary school teacher and amateur astronomer named Marjorie Fish constructed a three-dimensional model of Betty's star map using threads and beads and determined that the map must be a viewpoint of the double star system Zeta Reticuli.
Zeta Reticuli, of course.
Are these people, dude?
I knew it would be Zeta Reticuli.
Who is qualified to be like, oh yeah, that's Zeta Reticuli right there.
Yep. Apparently an elementary school teacher.
Apparently.
She's putting together strings and beads to create... What the fuck?
I don't know,
she's the alien.
She got her abacus out and started calculating how many light years away it is.
Basically, it was like Charlie in that Always Sunny meme where he's got the red string and all that shit.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That's what it is. That's what you're picturing. But yeah, that is about 39 light years away from Earth, in case you were wondering. Mm-hmm.
So she did break it out. Got it.
I think the Subi can make it there.
Good luck. On February 25th, 1969, which is actually 54 years ago tomorrow from today's recording, Barney Hill died of a cerebral hemorrhage at the age of 46.
Wow. Come on, you.
Not Barney.
You're like, actually, tomorrow he died.
Yep. Get excited.
R.I.P. in peace, man.
Solid R.I.P. W for Barney.
Yeah.
F's in chat.
But
great barn, dude.
Yes. Anyway, in an episode of Cosmos in 1980, Carl Sagan demonstrated that without the lines drawn on the map, Betty's map bore no resemblance to the real life map of Zeta Reticuli star system. Over a decade later,
surprise!
It's a shocking, I know. but yeah, like a decade later, the teacher Marjorie Fish rejected her hypothesis in a public statement. She was like, yeah, my bad. I'm wrong. This isn't real.
Dumbass. Fake fan.
Marjorie Fish.
Okay, she's not a real liar. One. She sold out, but...
what a loser.
I know.
What a
Betty
fraud.
Went on to be a celebrity in the UFO community until she died of cancer on October 17th, 2004. However, as the years went on, her credibility continued to fade. It's surmised that the Hills were sleep-deprived during their drive home on the night of September 19th, 1961, and that the UFO was simply a misidentified aircraft warning beacon. She was known to go on UFO visuals at least 3 times a week and was said to mistake things as common as street lamps for UFOs.
Instead of she saw my God.
I didn't know it was this bad.
Yeah, and apparently she said that she saw fleets of UFOs coming and like that she saw these particular aliens multiple times again. So she people were basically like, yeah, up. Nah.
Yeah, she was off that goop, alright.
She was boofed up, dude.
She sure was. She was on next level shit. But yeah, whether or not you believe their accounts of their alien abduction, their story kind of provided the framework for alien abduction stories for pretty much years to come. So that is Betty and Barney Hill.
I love when a story creates framework for more stories. I love, and then people try to act like they're real.
Yeah. That's they really, favorite. They put the rest of us on.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but the next section, John's going to tell us about a very specific topic. I'll let him introduce it. Go ahead, buddy. You got it.
I have a fairly good idea as to who fucking attached me to this old ball and chain. But, you know, so I'm going to be talking about Lovecraftian aliens today.
Ooh, super fascinating.
Whoa! Yes. Dude, the Cthulhu's. But I have to approach this a bit differently because, you know, I don't think there is a well-documented account of people meeting Cthulhu.
Are you sure?
You didn't look hard enough.
Yeah, I guess not. But, so I guess what I'm going to do now is kind of describe what a Lovecraftian style alien is, where that comes from, and maybe like famous examples of media that you can maybe consume to become more familiar with that. So, to start, Howard Phillips Lovecraft. Piece of shit. Awful man, died broken alone, as he should have. But,
oh my god.
I mean, dude, it's in the Google search. The second result is cat name. You don't need me to tell you what it is. So Howard Phillips Lovecraft wrote a lot, and I mean a lot of shit in his day, which, you know, unfortunately for him, was not recognized while he was alive. It really, the literary community at the time said Howard Phillips Lovecraft's work was really shitty and kind of schlocky, which, to be fair, it kind of is, but people really didn't start to, you know, pick it up and run with it until he died. And most famously enough, all of his work kind of compiles together into what we call the Cthulhu mythos. And, you know, even after he died, writers to this day are still adding and making their own shit with it. And, you know, if there's like three major things that H.P. Lovecraft loved to write about. Fish, dreamlands, and aliens. And, you know, sometimes all at once. You'll notice that there's a lot of crossover between his aliens and fish. And so, I guess to get to the real fucking point, what does it mean when you say something is Lovecraftian? As opposed to, you know, just something regular. And, you know, sometimes this can interchangeably be, like, called cosmic horror, which is a subgenre of horror fiction that emphasizes the horror of the unknown and shit you can't even possibly understand. You know, so, you know, as opposed to somebody in a movie seeing an alien and be like, oh my god, that's weird. It's more like, oh, you see the alien and then your fucking brain melts and you die because it's so fucked up.
That checks out.
Try to describe the alien that you would see where your brain melts in a Lovecraftian.
You know what's nuts? Is that he spends so much of his time in his stories saying, oh my god, it was the most indescribable thing I've ever seen. And then proceeds to fucking describe it. And I'm like, I guess it wasn't. But to narrow it down, I don't know. I think, at least in his stories, a lot of his aliens devolve into just like, oh shit, it looks like a toad with tentacles. And it's gray. And I'm like, alright, that's fucking boring. It isn't until now that people are getting a little bit more creative with it. But, so, in his stories, a cast of characters that you can call are really like the outer gods. For example, you know, you have your Cthulhus, which despite being on Earth, technically comes from space. And, you know, you see it, you scream, and you're like, oh my god, what is that? And then you die or it kills you. And
This is good. I've never heard John be so articulate about something. I'm glad he's been assigned this.
Listen, man, I have spent a lot of time with Lovecraft in my adult life. And I gotta say, a lot of it is really fucking repetitive.
Sounds like the perfect assignment.
Yeah. Okay, so let me give you the breakdown of most fucking Lovecraft alien stories. You have a guy, he's either an archaeologist or a scientist. He finds a cave or a hidden city or whatever. He goes in and he's like, oh my god, there's a fucking alien. and then he fucks up the people that are worshiping it. And they're like, why are you worshiping this alien? And then they're like, oh, you'll see why. And then he looks at it and he's like, oh my god. And his mind expands and he fucking dies. That is...
Briefly, what was the name of the series that we read in school that was about aliens? Like, they were literally just
the called
Tripods.
Yeah, Tripods.
Yeah.
You
call that?
I don't fucking know.
God, what a... Was it good? I never read that.
I didn't read it either.
I didn't read that shit.
Come on, guys. None of you were good students?
No!
I've never read anything for school.
Not at all.
I have no idea. There's a trilogy. I have no idea if they're supposed to be good.
The Tripod Trilogy.
It's crazy how that works.
I thought at least one of you would have actually read them like in by now, but never mind. Okay, proceed, John.
You asked about Charlotte Doyle. I got you, but I don't know.
Tripods, I got nothing.
Charlotte Doyle, that was the ship.
That's the pirate bitch.
That is the. I knew it. I did read that one actually. All right. John, go ahead.
So you know, I want to get away from Cthulhu because that's like the most well-known one. You know, some of his more famous outer gods that he's written about in his work. You have Cthulhu, which is essentially the source of all evil in the universe. It's just out there,
And, you know, you'd think it would be something interesting looking, but it's really fucking not. imagine, like, you guys know what the Milky Way galaxy looks like, right? That big-ass spiral. Totally. You know, that thing we live in? Imagine that.
Definitely no.
Imagine that, but it's made of flesh, tentacles, and eyeballs. And, you know, you got Cthulhu, which gives birth to Cthulhu and everything else, and it's all fucked up and awful.
So Cthulhu is a biblically accurate angel, is what you're saying.
Pretty much. Yeah. Huh. I never thought of it that way, actually.
Dan, do you not know that meme?
Yeah, be not afraid.
Just a floating goop of eyeballs and wings.
Yeah. That's right. I remember.
I'd love to smoke weed with Cthulhu, honestly. That's probably fucking awesome.
Until your brain expands and you die, like
everyone. But at least you'll be high.
Yeah, pretty much. You have Cthulhu, you have Nyarlathotep, which again, okay, oh my God.
Of course.
Okay, so here's the thing. Fucking Lovecraft loved to make all these different evil aliens, but at the end of the day, he would say the same shit about all of them. Oh, it's like the craziest shit you'll ever see. It's like the source of all evil in the universe, and it's out there, exiled to space. And I'm like, all right, but like, if when you say that about all of them, you know, none of them are interesting then.
And they all made it here?
Yeah. That's the thing about Lovecraft aliens, man, is that they're always on Earth at the beginning of the story. And I'm like, why the fuck? Okay. Lovecraft is a very frustrating person to talk about because he's built such a foundation for science fiction and horror writing, and yet none of it is very good. He put us all on, unfortunately. But I have a whole fucking hardcover book with like all of his major stories, which I'm drawing from, and you really. If you're going to read any of them, read The Call of Cthulhu, read Dagon, read The Dunwich Horror, and, you know, if you're going to read any of them, read those, and you're set for life. But to get away from Lovecraft himself, I want to kind of list a couple of things that people might want to, you know, get into if they want to see what this whole Lovecraft horror is about. So, you know, I got a little bit for everybody here. So, to start, I got video games. As we all know, Bloodborne is the greatest video game of all time, and that's really not up for debate. So if you want to know firsthand what I'm talking about, go play that game. That's for you.
How old is that shit now?
That shit is like, I don't know. That shit came out in like 2012, 2013. Huh. Fuck me. Going? That game.
What game
that
is
game
this?
Is good. Bloodborne.
Bloodborne.
Never heard of it.
Oh. Chelsea, if you like werewolves and you like aliens, boom.
There we go.
There you go.
Fucking famously enough, Dead Space. Also technically Lovecraft horror.
Interesting.
Because like the whole thing about Dead Space is that like there's this whole cult that worships the aliens and they drive people insane.
Oh, spoilers, dude. Come on.
Like in GTA.
Oh, my bad.
The guys in the desert?
Shut up.
So I have another, last game on the list is one called Song of Saya. It's like a mystery kind of horror story. And it's about this guy who falls in love with this girl who's actually a Lovecraft alien.
Oh, yeah.
He is the only one that perceives her like a normal person. And then everyone else who sees her is like, oh my God. And then they die.
He's just like me for real.
He is literally just like me.
Shallow Hal, the Lovecraft version.
That one is extremely fucked up. Do not go into that if you are like squeamish or anything. So,
thank you.
Most importantly, to relate it to what we do, I have a list of movies that people might want to check out. No. Technically, kind of.
How many Nicolas Cage movies are you about to say?
Like three of them. famous top of the list, The Color Out of Space, starring Nicolas Cage.
Such a good movie.
Phenomenal fucking movie. Beautifully shot, beautifully written. Probably one of the most faithful adaptations of Lovecraft's work that kind of takes it, modernizes it, and builds upon it in a way that's like really interesting and kind of surpasses the original story. The Mist technically kind of counts, especially when you look at the monsters. I mean, they're just fucking big squids or whatever. And they Side come mark. From a different dimension. Yeah.
We've been recommended The Mist, so be on the lookout. That's an
coming soon. I fucking love that movie.
All right, yeah. That's all you, John.
I'm on it. I fucking love that movie.
The next episode. Be on the lookout.
A more obscure one is called Spring. I don't even know who's in it. I don't remember, and I don't remember who directed it. But to give a brief synopsis without spoiling the movie, a man goes on vacation in Europe and falls in love with a woman who harbors a dark, unknowable secret.
Thank you. She has.
I wonder what she is. Another really good one is The Void. That's definitely one everyone should check out. It's probably the most basic one on this list, but it pretty much nails the formula. Same thing with this one called The Pyramid, which somehow combines Lovecraft and ancient Egypt. It's really fucking awesome. Everyone should go watch it. One. Oh, dude, Gavin, you would really like that
one. Yeah, that sounds like right up my alley.
There's another one called Coherence. It's about these people who are essentially at a dinner party, and a comet flies over the house, and strange shit starts happening. And even some stuff on TV, you know, the most obvious one in recent years, Lovecraft Country on HBO. Decent show, only got one season, book is better, but still worth watching, and encompasses everything I'm talking about. And even more recently enough, have you guys seen that Cabinet of Curiosity show with Guillermo del Toro?
That shit was trash.
Yeah, I watched like 5 seconds.
Ass. Ass.
So bad.
It's ass, but it adapts like 4 fucking Lovecraft stories. And you know, if anybody's gonna get into it, fucking start with that. Start with something shitty, so the good stuff's even better.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
And even if go check out his books. Go read it. They have comics and everything. If you don't want to read words and you want to look at fucking disgusting squids for like 50 pages on end. And even famously enough, for anyone who's into graphic novels, fucking Junji Ito, Uzumaki, is especially fucking influenced by Lovecraft. So, you know, if any of these things that I've listed off have piqued your interest, please, I implore you, go fucking get into it. Because, like, as much shit as I've talked about this genre and as this man, I love it. I am tapped into the fucking genre, and I cannot get out. The squids are attached to my brain. So please come join me, and we can all, you know, we'll all go worship Cthulhu together.
We're not starting a cult on the channel.
Pretty much.
Like sport goes to Cthulhu.
Oh, fuck, Dan. I have something that's close to us.
Yeah?
A series of Yu-Gi-Oh! Monsters based off Lovecraft aliens.
Really? Oh, I'll
have
to hear this.
I'll have to send them to you, but they're awesome.
Gavin's in on this. Gavin knows Yu-Gi-Oh!
Gavin oh, yeah, Gavin ball. Too. And they're all fucking banned because they're really good.
Oh, okay.
Not as fun.
But yeah, man, I hope you guys enjoyed all that real, well-documented experience shit.
I felt like I was watching a documentary.
That was very, very, very well informed, John. Thank
well,
you for
it's
that.
Just yeah, as important course. To me for people to know the stuff that comes from the imagination, because a lot of people believe that the imagination is just us remembering. So, you know, while most of it is incredibly far-fetched, it's always an interesting concept to think about those things may be, you know? So it's, mm-hmm. you know... I feel like it's still just as important to touch on. So yeah, thank
number
you,
one.
John.
Number one.
Oh, thank you.
Very nice. Well, Gavin's got a juicy one. Very interesting topic that I am excited for his information about. I have listened to podcasts discuss it in the past, so I have at least a statement to make on it.
Oh, he's pulling the notebook out.
He's got the real information on it. Gavin, take it away. Thank you.
All right. So we're here to talk about aliens, right?
Yep.
You know who else is an alien? Maybe.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Bigfoot.
Ooh.
What?
Bigfoot.
Ooh. What?
We're going to get into it, and I'm going to need Dan to give me some of what he knows. I'm a little less... learned on this subject, but it was definitely interesting, and I didn't know it went quite as deep as it does. So we'll start. There's pretty much 3 prevailing theories revolving Bigfoot. The first one is that He's just a humanoid, hominid, Neanderthal, whatever. He's just a terrestrial being from Earth that's always been, and he will persist. That's kind of, or he or she, they will persist. That's that's the first theory. The second theory is that Bigfoot is an interdimensional traveler and can be contacted spiritually.
So
that's my theory.
That,
go on.
That's the one that gets, you know, outside of that he's just a primate, that is the one that gets the most backing from, you know, actual, like, scholars for some reason.
It's me. I'm scholars. I get it.
It's us. And then the third one is that Bigfoot is just an alien species that came from space and is like, is on the same plane as, like, what's the, like, the gods of the Egyptians, but they're all, like, half man, half animal. That's kind of, like, where he's in that kind of same, same plane. Where, because, as you know, like, Native Americans have plenty of stories worshiping, you know, Sasquatch and things like that. So that's kind of where he falls in there. I'm also inclined to want to believe the interdimensional traveler, because that's the, obviously the coolest one. But I'm also up for realism, and I think he's might just, if he's, if, I keep saying he, if Bigfoot is out there, then he's, you know, probably just a monkey. But, so we actually get into some data, which is pretty interesting. Fucking there's data. Actual solid statistics that show a correlation between UFO sightings and Bigfoot sightings. It can work either way, but if you see a UFO or you see Bigfoot, shortly after, somebody in your area will see the other. And it's, there's actual correlation between that. Of the top 10 states that have either a Bigfoot sighting or a UFO sighting, 6 of those states have both. And that's Alaska, Colorado, New Mexico, Wyoming, Washington, and Oregon. With, I believe it was Washington and Oregon and Alaska being, like, in the top 5 of the top 10. So it's an incredibly strong correlation between seeing a UFO and then seeing Bigfoot, or the other way around. That correlation led to one theory, which was that Bigfoot actually is just being studied by aliens. So whenever you
so maybe he's their pet.
This is awesome.
So,
why do you just laughed about it?
So when you see Bigfoot and then you see aliens or vice versa, it's because the aliens were following Bigfoot. So it's like, you know, he is their test subject. Which is, you know, I think that's pretty funny.
Jesus.
And there's been plenty of documented experiences going all the way back into the 1800s by Dr. Franklin Rule, of UFO and Bigfoot sightings happening concurrently, which is a pretty big deal. And like I said, some people view the data as UFO studying Bigfoot, whereas other people view Bigfoot as a UFO foot soldier, whereas you see the UFO... You see the UFO, and then you see Bigfoot, because they just dropped him off. Meanwhile, I don't know why they dropped him off in the middle of the woods, and he's aggressive. I don't know what the end game is, but now this is, I'm sure Dan knows about this, and this is where we get into some pretty crazy shit.
Oh, boy.
There's something known as the Unified Paranormal Field Theory, where... UFOs, Bigfoots, and ghosts are all in the same realm of being.
Uh-huh. Yes.
This leads into the 3 levels of reality. The first level of reality is the 5 senses. Normal reality, we all perceive. This is, everybody can do it. The second level of reality is extrasensory senses. Like, being able to... connect with your connection to the magnetic fields of the Earth and being able to sense the presence of the paranormal, things like that. That's the second reality.
The 6th sense, you can't, one might say.
Yeah, yeah.
Check.
Got him.
Tomato.
All right, logging off.
End of call.
So that's like, you can understand the relationship, you can feel it, you can dissect a little bit, but you're not in it. you know. And then the third level of reality is where UFOs, ghosts, and Sasquatches exist and function. They can go in between realities, but this is their primary reality, is the third. Where the two levels meet, and there's the middle ground, and there's no, they're no longer restricted by the laws of physics. So this ties into why people think Bigfoot and even ghosts are the same thing as UFOs. They're fast moving, they disappear out of nowhere, and they have the light orbs following them. There's plenty of accounts of Bigfoot with light orbs, UFOs with light orbs, ghosts are literally just light orbs. So that's why people think that all of these beings existing on this plane of reality are just, they're classified as being the same being, because they all function in this reality where other things can't. Hmm. And this guy, William Hall, has been kind of on the forefront of this, saying that quantum physics is leading to this discussion of the third reality and all this crazy shit.
Oh my.
And it's pretty interesting. Then you get all these guys with like the Bigfoot hunters are saying that Bigfoot uses the light orbs to basically phase in between realities.
I get it.
Nice.
No, for sure. For sure.
And that's what he do. They have multiple instances of concrete evidence showing that Bigfoot, I can't even say this out loud, Bigfoot used the light orbs to phase behind a running deer, grab it, and then phase out of this reality with the deer. And they have evidence of that somehow.
Concrete evidence.
Okay.
Too.
Yeah. So they said they have like swift moving footprints that go to nowhere, that like end abruptly. So how is something just running and then, you know, gone?
Yeah.
The tufts of hair almost like a poof. Like all of the times you'll see on TV when they're like, oh, we found this hair, it's Bigfoot, and then they test it and they're like, oh, it's just a deer, it's just bear, it's just whatever. The tufts of hair, they theorize, are because once these beings that aren't supposed to be going between realities, once they go through the light, the beam, the balls of light, they basically combust. So their tufts of hair are them.
Wow.
That's like their evidence.
So wait. I have a question.
Oh, right. Let's hear it.
Why? What purpose does being in this reality even serve for Bigfoot? Like, why even be here at all?
We'll
never know.
Bitch, what the fuck?
Why not just eat third dimensional deer?
Maybe they don't have those.
What did you say, Chelsea?
Just hanging out, man.
Yeah, just vibing. On your second dimension.
Why are any of us here, John?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Why aren't you just in the third reality with the Bigfoot?
If I could phase to a different reality, I would just like stay there. I would assume it's better.
How do we know it's better?
Grass isn't always greener on the other side, John.
There's just ghosts and aliens there.
Yeah. He's not special in that reality. He's special here.
Right.
True.
Yeah. We just get the occasional sassy Bigfoot that wants to be idolized. That's all.
So, yeah, exactly. So wait, is it just aliens, Bigfoot, and ghosts, or is it everything in between?
It's anything. Well, so who's another guy, I believe it was, I think it was this guy, William Hall. I might be crediting the wrong guy, but he used Mothman as his catalyst for this light orb interdimensional travel idea.
Uh-huh.
And he said that Mothman's eyes lit up when he was conjuring the orbs, and then that he would travel between realities, and that's his path.
I see, and
you see this too. You see people like, oh, I saw Bigfoot, his eyes were glowing red and he was there and then he wasn't, and it's that these beings, pretty much anything paranormal, anything mythological, has the ability to travel between realities. And that's all
fairly convenient, that is.
Yes. Well, that's also their explanation for why you never find bones or bodies of Bigfoot. Because they come in this realm to do something, and then they go back, and that's where they die, and that's where they do their other stuff. And that's why they're like, oh, we never see groups of them, or we never see families, or any sign of breeding, because it's all done in the other reality.
Third reality.
Yeah, they really just come here to vacation.
They come here to just combust our animals. They just play crazy, stupid pranks on the wildlife, and then...
Oh, you know what? Global warming is really, it's just all the combustion.
Yeah, it's all the...
Who knew Bigfoot was responsible? That's crazy.
I know.
Yeah, I've heard the theory of basically interdimensional traveler a lot, and that's just kind of like, the concept is generalized to cryptids as a whole. So, like, Bigfoot and Mothman are the two most, like, famously sorted, just because they're the two, like, hype men for all of cryptid existence. And, like, Loch Ness Monster's right there. But, yeah, and you know, I sit in the camp. I didn't know it was that specific, as Gavin described. I didn't know all that. But, yeah, I totally believe interdimensional traveler. That kind of just comes and goes as they please. And it's just, like, whatever, what they feel like doing, if they feel like doing it.
My thing is, it's just like, I totally get it. Like, if when we get time travel, I'm sure there's going to be people that just like time travel just because. They're not just going to do it for a reason.
I'm in there.
Gavin started the sentence with, when we. He's confident.
Yeah. It's anything.
It's common. Possible.
I just read a NASA article that there's a black hole 50 million times bigger than the sun traveling through space uncontrollable speeds. I'm pretty sure we can come up with time travel.
Yeah, I remember in high school, one of those research projects we did senior year for whatever, the AP Bio. And I did, basically there's like earthquakes that happen in space, but when they happen, it basically distorts the time waves, and that they were able to find that within, closer to like the epicenter of the space quake, time slowed down, and even at like dead center, time comes to a stop.
Dude.
Like, with this alone, we're pretty sure time travel is possible, was basically what they ended the article with.
Dude, I'm learning so much.
If time travel is just ever,
yeah, just rattle it around.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Damn.
So we do have it. It's confirmed.
It's already here.
Dude, the universe is nuts.
We don't know about it.
How else do people win the lottery?
You're right. But my thing, like, while we're all here and we're on the topic, why is Bigfoot traveling interdimensionally, and why does he talk in grunts? I feel like with this technology, well, I mean, it's not even technology, it's just ability.
It's just a technique.
Right. So is this technically something that we could inherit if we were to capture and crossbreed a Bigfoot with a person?
We would just need it to teach us the technique, you know, put us on the same wavelength.
But then you get into the hollow earth theory, where humans can't physically exist through that type of gravitational force. Yeah. With the reverse gravity and all that shit. I'm sure the third reality has something like that. So we physically couldn't, even if we knew the technique, we would die.
Yeah, I'm sure if we knew the technique, we would die upon facing. We would just burn up.
We would combust, exactly. So we.
Spontaneous combustion is just people unlocking the ability.
They're.
I got it.
That makes a lot of sense.
You just solved it.
I fucking nailed it.
All right, next month's spork feeding is we're all practicing our spontaneous combustion on stream.
My siblings used to tell me if I ate too much salt, I'd spontaneous combust, and I was really worried about that for a while.
That's true.
That's too. That might be how it works. We don't know.
It's probably a different spice, you know.
But there's got to. There's no. I find it very hard to believe that these things. Well, we can all agree why ghosts would do it. You know, unresolved issues.
I think it's because visiting. It's got to be, I'm going to say it's because he's humanoid,
but he's not human. So he's just dabbling with life.
The yearn for connection, almost?
Yeah.
But he's like a future almost. Human. Yeah. Like the next species. Whoa.
Dang, we suck. He'd just be big.
Huh. Or like a past species of human.
But and it was like an accident?
Like you ever, like the theory that like, or maybe it's not even theory, it's just factually based that we only use like, actually 20% of our brain power.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a different line, it's a different lineage of human where they actually figured out how to use all of the brain power, well, and with said they're able to do what they want.
It's like that movie Lucy.
Yeah, going to different realities.
I'm not even convinced that brain power equates to IQ.
Yeah.
Because and if we're going to use these examples, Bigfoot's the perfect example. It's a gigantic, you know, primate almost that can't speak. It's highly aggressive, instinctual, but can do these things like teleport. So it's like, maybe when you go on the whole lineage of humanoid, their evolutionary pattern went away from cognitive function and more towards the ability to do certain things. Like, it's because they're physically strong and mentally strong, whereas, you know, both of those things are far greater than humans, but humans are more conceptually strong, if that makes
sense.
Well,
it's like instinctual, probably, you know?
Yeah.
It's like how otters can like smash clams with rocks, you know? Like, yeah, I can do that, but you know, you can't hand an otter like a power tool and expect it to, you know, figure it out.
Yeah.
You don't know. Has anybody tried?
I have not experimented giving an otter a chainsaw.
Yeah, please, I really sure.
Crows use tools, why not otters?
True.
It's definitely, reading up on this, it was definitely interesting to learn about, like, and ponder the reasoning behind their existence, if this is the route that's factual.
I'm in the camp of interdimensional traveler yearning for a connection.
Yeah, I think that sounds sick as fuck.
But it's probably like, it's like probably super heavily restricted or taboo in whatever universe, reality.
In Bigfoot culture.
And maybe it's like a punishment to get sent or something along those lines.
Or he's like a witch doctor or something, like a shaman of their culture.
You know,
it's like a proving ground for like
a coming of age. Like you have to go.
Yeah. We get the teenage Bigfoot,
like the Predator, almost pretty much.
Yeah.
And then he grabs a deer and blinks it out of existence, and he's like, "I did it."
Yes. Yeah, he goes back and he's like, "I got it." You know, this is like
actually the story of Bigfoot, but they just had to make him scarier for the sake of cinematic appeal.
All of these ideas are so fucking cool, and this just seems like a very untapped field in like fiction.
Yeah, right? I feel like there's definitely Bigfoot horror, but I feel like the idea that you're right, I don't think anybody's tapped into the whole interdimensional Bigfoot. But also
I just, because it's not at the forefront of people's minds, I don't think the common folk isn't thinking Bigfoot's an interdimensional traveler. They're thinking he's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, the normies.
Or that he's just an ape monster.
Well, you also have to take your definition of alien. By definition, somebody coming to our dimension is an alien of this dimension.
Yep.
Fair. But if he's from Earth in his dimension, how extraterrestrial is he? He's still terrestrial, just from a different reality.
He's just interdimensional.
Right. So he's interterrestrial.
Write that down. Trademark that.
This is going to be the least liked episode. This is just drying out the brains of whoever is listening.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is like one of the most fascinating episodes we've done.
There's going to be a certain group of people that this is their favorite episode, and there's going to be another much larger camp that's like, who the fuck are these nerds even saying?
Dude, we're tapping into the conspiracy market right now, dude. They're going to flood in.
Well, the discussion did exactly what I needed it to do, to where I don't have to report on the very long story that I did research on. But to touch on it briefly, I did this discussion on Farmington. But Farmington has their own article and website called the Farmington Daily Times, so it's a little biased, and by a little I mean extremely, and so it's not, I don't want to say too much from it. I'll link it so you can read it and so you can see what I'm talking about, but basically they had their 70th anniversary of a mass UFO sighting. The 70th anniversary was in 2020, and they just go on to discuss, there's a few locals, they address first and foremost that back in 1950, the town was much smaller, and so common day, there's only so many people left over from that mass UFO sighting, but basically about 2,000 to 3,000 people over the course of 3 days all reported seeing multiple, like, fleets of basically, like, paper plate size, very bright red things moving, and a lot of the time they weren't, and the movements they compared it to were that of falling leaves, which I thought was very interesting, and
because when they give it the shape of a paper plate, I can't imagine a very natural leaf falling movement, but it just only could describe it as fast, darting around. But a lot of the article is kind of just like the town like sucking itself off. And they say something like, there was a much bigger UFO event that happened like 3 years earlier. And like whoever wrote the article is like, yeah, we kind of just let that one have more attention because we're a small town and we don't want too many people to have eyes on us. and it gets weirdly political towards the end of the article. So I'm done with the story. But just know there's a few mass reported sightings of UFOs in like from like 50s to 70s. I feel like it was most prominent. And I believe there's like a New Jersey incident specifically. But the other one that I wanted to touch on more so, I got a top five list. Not top five. It says this is from History, the History Channel, their website, and they've listed it as the five most credible modern UFO sightings. And this little joke they made. What do a saucer, a wingless tic-tac shaped craft, and mile long strobe lights have in common? They all defy explanation. That's good. Somebody got paid a lot of money to come up with that. And so they describe the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, which is a U.S. government-funded program investigating UFOs. Between 2007 to 2012, it's a secret $22 million program, but was not the first of its kind. Official government UFO studies began in late 1940s with Project Sign, and yada, yada, yada. I'll link this article as well. I'm not going to really read the descriptions, just to actually talk about them, though. See if you guys know any of them. Chime in if you have any information. It starts off with number one, the lights above the New Jersey Turnpike in 2001.
Is that when Tracy Morgan crashed his car?
I don't see anything about Tracy Morgan.
No, I was actually on my way to a soccer tournament in New Jersey, and we were like, oh, this traffic is terrible. Somebody freaking crashed and flipped their car, and then it was Tracy Morgan.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was way insane. Later than 2001.
I know. I just wanted to share that story.
Thank you. It says for around 15 minutes just after midnight, a bunch of motorists on a New Jersey turnpike marveled at the sight of strange orange and yellow lights in a giant V formation.
Geese.
Blah, 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 blah. Yes, that is actually what it ends with. Interesting. Hmm. Air traffic controllers initially denied that any airplanes, military jets, or space flights could have caused the mysterious lights. But a group known as the New York Strange Phenomena Investigators claimed to receive data that corroborated UFO sightings. So, shout out those guys, I guess. 2004, there's the USS Nimitz encounter, which is just another two F-A-18 fighter jets arrived in an area with churning water and shadow of an oval shape underneath the surface. A few moments, a white tic-tac-shaped object appeared above the water with no visible markings. They attempted to intercept the craft at some point, but it went faster than they could anticipate. It moved three times the speed of sound and more than twice the speed of the fighter jets. So it was pretty fucking fast. Couldn't tell you what that number is, but...
See, like, something like that, and then the Hills story, how it had windows. There's no way that thing has windows.
No.
Right?
So that, yeah, like, yeah, I was thinking that the whole time, and you're like, yeah, they looked in the window. I was like, I don't know, bullshit.
No way. It's a special material. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Vibranium windows.
the third one they have listed, O'Hare International Airport saucer in 2006. November 7th, 2006, a total of 12 United employees and a few witnesses spotted a saucer-shaped craft around 4 o'clock. It hovered for about 5 minutes before shooting upward, breaking a hole in the clouds, just so everybody could see the sky. But the UFO was not seen on any radars, and it was called a weather phenomena. And then they just declined to investigate it further.
That would be fucking crazy to see that exact thing.
Honest, just to see clouds just break. Oh, yeah. I can only imagine.
That's like the fucking...
Stephenville sightings? Sorry.
No, I was just saying, that's like the scene from The Meg. Did any of you watch that?
No.
Oh man.
Like, no.
They go down to like in the like I don't know, like in the Mariana Trench and they break this hydrocline layer, whatever it's called. And it's like this layer of warm water that the sub organisms can't break. So like there's a bunch of shit down there. And they go down and their spaceship explode, or spaceship, their submarine explodes, and it opens up the hyoscine whatever fucking thing. And Megalodon swims out, basically.
Hell yeah, dude.
So that's like freaking Kabunga, or whatever his name was, is going to come out of the cloud hole. The spaceship, man.
Oh, Cthulhu, yeah.
Cthulhu?
Cthulhu, come on. He didn't know who you were talking about.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, Kabunga, yeah.
I was like, what? Oh.
In 2008, we have the Stephenville sighting. It's a small town, Stephenville, Texas, 100 miles southwest of Dallas, mostly known for dairy farms. Actually had a silly little alien sighting. They reported seeing white lights above Highway 67, first in a single horizontal arc and then in vertical parallel lines. The strobe lights spanned about a mile long and a half mile wide, traveling about 3,000 miles per hour. No sound being reported, which I find hard to believe. Witnesses believe the event was reminiscent of the Phoenix Light sighting of 1997, while the U.S. Air Force revealed weeks later that F-16s were flying in those areas. But yeah, many townspeople didn't buy that explanation, believing what they saw was too technologically advanced for current human abilities.
Yeah, F-16s are the loudest fucking things ever, so.
This one seems like, in the title, East Coast Go Fast Video, 2015. when news leaked in 2017 about the AA Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, a video emerged that revealed an encounter between an FA-18 Super Hornet and an unidentified aerial phenomenon seen along the East Coast on a Raytheon Advanced Targeting Forward-Looking Infrared Pod. Jesus. The craft was similar to that spotted off San Diego in 2004, a fast-moving white oval about 45 feet long without wings or exhaust plume. Jordan Peele, silly guy.
Jean jacket.
The pilots tracked the object at 25,000 feet above the Atlantic Ocean as it flew away and simultaneously rotated on its axis. No explanation ever emerged. So those are the top five most credible modern UFO sightings, again, from history, the History Channel. They love aliens over there.
I feel like so. Making a flying saucer would be so easy.
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't done it yet.
Like, why don't we just push magnets together, but put them on a gyro. Boom. Easy. I just created it.
It doesn't even have to go fast. It just needs to fly.
Why can't that work? Tell me.
Right?
You're asking the wrong guy. I'm sorry to break it to you, but you're leading the investigation at this rate.
Bigfoot.
So aliens.
Yes, exactly.
So that's your sport feeding episode on aliens. Like we, I mentioned previously.
Hold on, I have one more thing to say.
One thing to say. Sorry.
Yes, it was about when Chelsea was describing the men they saw in the spaceship earlier from the Hill story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's quickly before he gets into it. There's a lot of information out there on like the Greys, and I know that. And there's like the multiple species of the Greys, yeah. And like different descriptions for different classes of the Greys, and people have theorized all these like almost like political like hierarchies within the Greys. I know all that information exists. That's like next level cuckoo like information you have to kind of look into. If that's something you are super duper interested, you're gonna have to pay me personally.
That's a Patreon episode that we don't have.
That's Patreon based research that I'm willing to do, but
not for free.
$15 a month.
For $20, a single time payment, I'll type up a 3-page essay on it.
No, but what I was gonna add is there's a guy, something I was gonna talk about was the ancient alien shit and the Anunnaki and all that, but it's so overdone and it's all fake. So I wasn't like the Sumerians are real, but and the Anunnaki were real. They're in the texts, but the shit that people say about it is not real. So I was like, there's no point in talking about it. But there's a guy, David Icke, from the 90s, who said that the Anunnaki were actually a reptilian Aryan master race.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can't... That. You can't be both.
Well, he said it.
Okay.
Is it albino reptiles? I don't know.
Right, I have no idea. But then, he goes on to talk about how they're, like, bad, and describes them anti-Semitically.
Oh, no.
So oh, my God.
People are like, bro? Like, what? Where are you getting this information from?
That's so funny.
And somebody did a documentary on all of that nonsense in the, I think it was 2010s, and basically said he was just calling the Anunnaki Jews.
Oh, my God.
Right. And that ties in exactly with how the Hills described what they saw.
Interesting.
And I thought it was an interesting parallel.
Is it just because they said prominent nose? Is that why?
No, the whole thing is a similar description of the people.
Okay.
Like long black hair, prominent nose, gray.
You know,
the suits with the. Yeah.
I'm starting to sense a theme between people who believe in aliens.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how the people that have all these fantastical beliefs also are extremely racist.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy.
Betty I just wanted to add that. They were an interracial couple at a time when that was not cool.
Yeah, but I don't think they would be also anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you don't know. Who knows? But
hey.
Wasn't it the 40s or something? Gives us a lot of crossover with Lovecraft here, who was also extremely anti-Semitic.
Oh my God, make it stop.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, we said all that stuff about Bigfoot, but we're not racist.
Yeah, exactly.
We believe in Bigfoot.
I just think he's cool.
Yeah.
I just love Bigfoot and Mothman and all cryptid things.
I also think Jews are cool, so we don't know.
Exactly.
Good.
I think they're as cool as anybody else.
Yep.
Bloody Spork loves Jews.
That's our official stance.
Okay, next topic.
Oh, that's it, bro. We're done. It's straight up.
That's all four of us.
Has anybody had a UFO sighting? I feel like we have to at least ask that.
No, but I did have a paranormal sighting, but I can share that if you'd like.
I don't know. I guess I'm gonna call this a UFO sighting. Personally, whatever. Not UFO. We'll say alien. Where I used to live, it was late, like 9 p.m., and I was down the street hanging out with a buddy of mine, and Blake was with me.
Who's Blake?
My brother. I think I've said that before. I don't know. Maybe not. Probably not. My brother was with me, and my brother's friend was with me. And we were all just, like, standing around, just talking. We were about to go home, because it was 9 o'clock, and there were trees, pretty much. There's a tree in, like, pretty much every yard in my neighborhood. And I kid you not, there was a very bright, like, circular-shaped light that kind of, like, went crazy strobe on us. And, like, I saw it jump from, like, tree to tree. Like, treetop to treetop, like, just straight across. And it was just, like, a quick beam of light. And we were like, oh, we all just saw that. Like, bright, like, everybody just saw that. And then, like, a few more minutes went by, and then it kind of just went, like, from the tree that it went to, which is in front of my buddy's house, like, across the street. And, like, just from that spot, like, 5 blocks down, and then never saw it again. And, like, we all saw it.
Ooh.
And I was like, okay, whatever, guys. Good night. Good luck, bud. I don't know what that's about. But that's all I
Jesus.
Got.
Spooky.
Yeah, I have so many paranormal stories. Paranormal, Spork Feeding 3, probably. Who knows?
Mine kind of goes in with, like, the cryptid blinking in and out of reality. So I'll share it now anyway. Me and my sister were like about to walk into my house after like a Christmas Eve church service. And we were looking down the street. Well, I was looking down the street and nothing was there. Blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, when you like, you just feel weird. I was like, okay, I got to look down the street again. And I looked and in the middle of the sidewalk was something. I always told her that it was like a chupacabra because I didn't know what it was, but it looked like a dog. And I was like, oh shit, there's a dog there. And I'm like standing there and she's like, oh yeah, there it is. It starts running at us and we're like, oh shit, what the fuck. And then it just goes,
what?
And then it just goes, it's gone. And I was like, oh, okay,
fuck that.
It was so weird. And you can ask Emily, my sister, you can ask her about it, because we were both like, what just happened? Because it wasn't like, and literally it wasn't there. Then all of a sudden I felt a presence, saw it, she saw it, it sprinted towards us, and then just blinked out. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Well, that's
fuck that.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yikes. I don't know what around here that could have been, but that's nice. I don't know what Maryland dog-like cryptids there are.
But I'll figure it out.
Maybe you discovered a new one.
Chupacabra is up north.
Yeah. Good old Chupi.
The Chupacabra.
Okay, yeah. Ooh. End it.
Tomato.
Got him. I'll be here all week.
You guys, anything personally? John, Joel?
No, I got nothing, man.
Damn, you've lived a blessed life.
I think I one time saw something like come down about? And like come down the sky and like go back up when my mom was driving us home from dinner one night years ago, but that was weird, but I didn't say anything. So, I don't know if anybody else saw it.
Interesting. That was a sign.
Had a lot of alien
dreams. I've lived a dull life.
But
alien dreams. Don't ever see a hypnosis doctor.
No, dude, I will not.
Can we do the next spork feeding? We need to all get past life hypnosis done. And then we'll talk about it. We'll reveal our recordings to each other. Like, I won't listen to mine, but like you guys will all listen to it. John won't listen to his, but we'll all listen to it, and we'll reveal it on the.
That'd be pretty cool. Actually.
I fucking love that.
We I would do that.
May not. It doesn't have to be next all spork right. feeding because I think that costs a lot of money. Actually, like $200 or something. But like we can save and then like eventually do that.
Yeah. Okay. Let us know if that's something that you're interested
that's
in.
That's a Patreon well, episode.
Yes, yeah. Maybe it's a Patreon episode.
You know, if you want to pay for a bonus episode.
If you want to pay for a Patreon, let us know in general. I don't know.
We should always see a psychic at some point, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, something along the lines of somebody telling me something I don't know about myself.
Yeah. But there's an extra long episode for you to make up for the last 2 50-minute episodes. Whatever, things happen.
We'd be talking.
Yeah, we'd be happy. The past few movies have been a little difficile to really expand on. How long could we really have talked about the alien mockumentary that was? So I think it was Gavin and I last week.
Yeah,
right? We did our episode. Yeah, so. We'll break it right. I'll say John and I are doing The Mist next week.
Hell yeah, dude! I fucking love it.
We'll round out Aliens with The Mist, basically, and then after that, Gavin and I will pick a movie, and who knows what it is. But that's gonna do it for this month's spork feeding.
Send us things.
Let us know what you want next time around. I'm already leaning paranormal, but if that's not what you want to hear. Let us know otherwise.
Fucking talk to us.
Paranormal is too broad.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to have to
narrow it down. Wow.
Either way, if you want to, you can follow us on Instagram, @BloodySpork. We have a Twitter now. Follow us, @BloodySporkPod. And if you want to email us further movie suggestions, sport feeding topics, just say, hey, what's up? You can email us at BloodySporkPod@gmail.com. I'm constantly checking it. Constantly.
Literally, I saw him at dinner yesterday checking it.
Exactly, constantly. So that's gonna do it for today. I'm Dan.
I'm Gavin.
I'm John.
I'm Chelsea.
Have a great month, Sporky.
Bye, Sporky.
We love you. Bye.
Talk to us more. Bye.